Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are doing our first podcast of the brand new season. Season 4 for the podcast, 2017-18, has kicked off with an absolute bang. Well, the rugby has. This podcast has started with a whimper, I think it's fair to say. I think apologies are probably in order first off, JB.
Yes, I probably think so. We have done consistent podcasts every Sunday for as long as I can remember, and the starting weekend, the starter's pistol, and literally none of us could be here on the Sunday. Not one of us could be bothered to make it. So we're doing it Monday night at 11:30.
Yeah, we were a little bit too smug about how we were the only rugby podcast doing it right through the summer. And then first weekend, Phil's not here. Where is he still?
He's in a villa somewhere. He's in some shared villa of hell with four other couples. I can't think of anything worse.
Guys, it sounds like a plot of a Hollywood movie, swingers party type thing. Mm. And you are looking groggy after some time in Italy, JB.
Yeah, I went to Italy for the weekend. Didn't see any rugby. Here's a serious point, though. A real serious point. We're busy talking in this country, especially among the powers that be, about growing the great game of rugby. Would it not be easier to grow the great game of rugby if something like the Premiership, which is by far the world's best competition when it comes to a domestic spectacle, to be able to actually watch it in the countries that we're targeting? Italy has a Six Nations team. It has two teams in the Pro 12, Pro 14. And yet you cannot watch Premiership rugby in Italy for love nor money. You cannot see it on BT Sport. You cannot find it on YouTube. You cannot find it on a Facebook Live page. You cannot watch the world's best league in Italy. So if you're listening, Premiership Rugby, or whoever makes these decisions, this is utterly moronic. It's stupid. It is stupid that you can't watch the world's best league in a country you're meant to be developing. That's probably the reason that Italy are still so bad at rugby and no one cares, because they can't watch this. The only TV deal they've got is to watch, I was going to say Aroni, they don't even exist, Treviso and Zebra on Sky Italia. That's what they watch.
I love the fact that you went away on this family trip to Italy, and had you been able to watch the rugby, you would have sat inside watching rugby all weekend.
I would have watched at least three games. I took my iPad to the beach. I took it away with me. It came everywhere. As even in a barbecue, trying to download some illegal thing, whilst celebrating in the pre-wedding party. So, there is a serious point here. You want to grow the game. Make sure people can watch the damn game when they're away, particularly if it's somewhere that we want to develop and reach new markets.
Amen, amen. So Phil isn't here, which means the podcast is going to be lacking in statistical fact. So I thought maybe we could start by trying to throw some facts together to give it some semblance of Phil being here. Here's a fact. Benno Abano's quads are outrageous.
He's massive, isn't he?
He's a ridiculous specimen. And because I was working at the Leicester Bath game, what you notice is his waist is really small, but his legs, I don't know how he runs or moves at all. So there's a fact. Benno Abano he's the quadzilla of the Premiership.
Yeah, you could have given me some advanced warning that you wanted me to make up some facts.
Well,
I'll give you one.
Yeah, go on.
I think Mark Atkinson is a wizard.
Oh, go on.
Just watching him play, he is so good.
Sausage legs. Yeah. Good old sausage legs.
Just always getting his hands free. It just seems to be involved in everything good that Gloucester does.
Well, do you know what? Just before we get into any sort of specifics, I think you've already hit upon one fact. Premiership, the Avicii Premiership, is the premier domestic rugby competition.
Yeah, and it's not even close. There isn't even a close second.
It was so good this weekend. I think this goes across the board, though. I think there's, again, let's keep our powder dry a little bit and make our mind up on this maybe after the first six rounds of matches, but it's looking like the law variations are potentially going to have a really positive impact on the way that teams are approaching playing the rugby.
That's interesting. In what respect? Because I've not picked up on this.
Well, so the law variations in that now, for example, a tackler can't stand up and play the ball. There is now an offside line. You have to go back round your own side. So it gives the impetus to the attacking side. Mm. You can't kick the ball out of rucks anymore. So those two things, for example, mean that a lot more defences are kind of fanning out and there's a lot of much quicker ball, which attacks are using well. Scrums are being less used as a weapon to try and win penalties, because basically if the ball's anywhere near the back of the scrum and then it collapses, they just play on.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm not a fan of not being able to kick the ball through the ruck, which sounds like it's a bit of a weird position to hold. But when you kick the ball through a ruck, what you effectively do is create chaos for both sides. And I think in a time when defences are so structured, I mean, actually this week they weren't, and we'll get on to that later, but that kicking through, yeah, you think is an advantage to the team which have kicked through. But if you look at something like the Gloucester game, where that last try came from basically a drop ball, or actually it came from some form of kicking the ball through a ruck, because they went into a ruck, just squirted out, and then they scored.
I think the kicking, just shoving your size 12 in there and trying to, or size 14s in the case of some of these boys, shoving them in there and just trying to boot the ball, I just think it's a bit negative. And I think the ruck area looked a lot cleaner and simpler. And I like the fact they've employed a bit of the perspective. You talk about trying to grow the game. It feels like the law variations that they've brought in are around making it more understandable and simpler, and less of these different nuances. Like, again, it's just a tackle. There's an offside line, even if you're the tackler, whereas before you could get up and there was no offside line, you could play the ball straight away. Now you have to get back around your own side. It just makes it more consistent across the board. That Italy can't do what they did in that Six Nations game in February as a result, that they've made an offside line even if there's no defensive player in a ruck. So it's, I think, all good on the law variations, and hopefully it continues and there's loads of tries.
Well, watch this space. I think the teams that will benefit most from this will be Saracens, Worcester and Newcastle, because I think I said it last year, with defences continually improving, and they, you know, as I said before, they had a bit of a ropey start this week. On a plastic pitch, with very few errors, one of the few ways you can get the ball off the opposition is to actually jackal. So I think these guys are in a much better situation than they were before. But we will see.
We will see. One fact as well, I think we can say, Faf de Klerk has the most Disney Prince Charming hair of anyone in world rugby.
Luscious hair. I actually saw him last week. I had a little chat with him down at Sale. Thank you. And then I brought it up immediately with Dave Seymour. I said, Dave, you're a little bit jealous of that hair. He goes, no, I've done that before. He said, yeah, but his is much, much blonder.
Yeah, much blonder.
To which you talk exception.
Yeah. And Faf de Klerk's hair is more wavy. Dave Seymour just had straight hair and he had to tie it in a top knot.
Yes.
He might have had the first top knot in rugby, Dave Seymour. He was ahead of his time in that sense.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. Yeah.
But I've noticed Ross Harrison from Sail Sharks is growing his hair out. I think he might be taking inspiration from...
It's not good for props, is it?
It's really not.
It's really not. You've got to have a certain build. Props don't suit top knots.
No.
Or long hair. Well, no. Some props are good with long hair. Monopolo looks great with long hair.
Yeah.
It looks like a barbarian. But trendy long hair is no good. Not for a prop.
Yeah, props need to look like props. Max Lahiff is a disgrace to props.
Hear, hear.
So, there we go. So, takeaways from the weekend. What did you think was the... What was your highlight, JB?
God, there's so many takeaways from this. Gloucester is an awesome place to start the year. It was awesome last year. It's awesome this year. I wonder if that should be mandated that every year they've got to go to Gloucester on a Friday night, because it's just right. The crowd is right. The atmosphere is right. It was simply superb. Signings don't necessarily mean you're going to win games.
Yeah,
that's a big one for me. Sale Sharp struggled, and they're not really signings. They are guys coming back from injury, but forward to Alangi to Miraxis did not fire. So those would be my two things. Signings not particularly doing well. I tell you who did do well, very well, was Newcastle, and they didn't really use as many of their new signings as they possibly could have.
Yeah, when you looked at that team on paper, you thought, "Oh, that's a bit." I'm not sure about that Newcastle team, and it was a bit the same with Bath, to be honest.
Oh, completely. I looked at that Bath team and I thought second rate.
Yeah,
completely second rate. And I kind of think that's probably why they did a number on Tigers. I think Tigers went out there a little bit arrogant to start with, and it wasn't until they conceded four tries I thought, best if we start playing now.
Yeah, we can get into the specifics of a bit more. My highlight of the weekend was London Irish.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Is their six? Is it Coman?
Coman. I told you about him last week.
Beast.
Told you about him last week on the podcast. You should listen more.
Oh, he hits hard.
Yeah, he was brilliant in the Championship last year and absolutely a beast of a guy. I've got a man crush on Blair Cowan. I have done for quite some time. The guy is just a total headhunter. Like,
Bit tricky with today's laws.
Yeah, if there was a zombie apocalypse, you'd want to be in his gang.
Cause... Yeah, there is something pretty cool about the guy who's worked consistently hard, continued to produce the goods, gone down, come back up, and is still pretty good. I like that.
He's very good. So I was absolutely buzzing that London Irish won that, and the way they played, Nick Kennedy. It's taken to it like a duck to water.
Yeah, he has, isn't he?
He's just... what I liked most was after the win, he was just so low-key. He wasn't like, yeah, we're really delighted we won. It's like, yeah, okay, good, yeah, we won. And there was a pre-season game, London Irish with a better side against Harlequins, but I think I, along with most people, probably thought, oh, yeah, but that's just pre-season. But London Irish, they've just got a really good, gnarly, horrible pack. And that was the basis of it. It was quite old school in that sense, same way that Bath won the game. So I was absolutely buzzing for London Irish, and I apologise that I called them as comfortable relegation. I said it'd be relatively close, much closer than previous years. But
looking at just this week alone, you've got to say Worcester must be pulled into that race. You know, week one, London Irish look dynamite. And Worcester really, really failed.
Well, I don't know how bad were Quins, though. That's the thing. They were so poor.
Yeah, do you know they pay Jamie Roberts £380,000 a year? That is a huge amount of money to be paying for a guy who...
You hear loads of figures about players, and I can believe that. That sounds about right. But
it does sound right.
Are these official and out there, or is this kind of... When you hear these numbers, because none get published or said, do they?
No, it is about that.
Yeah.
Reasonably good source.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could it be, in fairness, when you sign a guy like that from France, who's an international, who was a Lion, and this was 2 years ago. Yeah. And as much as I love Jamie Roberts, I'm on record as... My man love for Jamie Roberts is intense, particularly when he plays for Wales and how he plays.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things. He doesn't strike me as a typical Harlequins player. And also, is that what Harlequins need? A £380,000 inside centre who plays at one speed? Doesn't strike me as the best signing.
No. Again, you've said it before, if you were moneyballing, like it used to be the case, and maybe it still is the case to some degree, that you spend more on your tighted prop and your fly... Well, it used to be tighted prop, now it's moved to fly half, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right, probably second rows and inside centres aren't worth being your biggest... Well, it depends what type of inside centre.
Yeah. do you know, I really worry for Quinns. I really do. They just seem a bit soft. Now, whether this will change like it did last year, because it does remind me of last year. They got lucky to beat Bristol. And then they went back to the Stoop. And in the Stoop, they were formidable. I'm not sure they lost all season. They certainly beat teams like Saracens.
Yeah, they did.
But, you know, this can't continue. And it feels like a bit of a hangover from last year. They win some incredible games, and then they will drop points where it's just unnecessary. And this is definitely one of those games. They should have been ready. They've got enough quality. Marcus Smith doesn't look like he's quite ready for Premiership rugby yet. This could be a really, really challenging year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at just on the basis of 1 week, and again, it's easy to jump to conclusions, but I think this could be the biggest... I think there could be a gap opening up between the top four and everyone else, pretty much.
Even. Top three.
Who's the team that's dropping out of the top four for you?
Whoever was fourth place. I think Bath beating Leicester was very telling. Now, Leicester came back into it ferociously. But ultimately, they also played a team who only had 14 men. They had 13 men at one point, and they still didn't get it done. And this is with all the signings, all the Rasmus has at home. First home game of the season. You would expect better. And opposite them is a Bath team, as we said before, who I don't think look particularly good. And between the two things there, it just doesn't bode well. Now, the worrying thing for Tigers is this for them is as good as it gets in terms of personnel and setup. They will not put out a stronger team than that all year. Maybe Maloof doesn't play on the wing.
Yeah, I was going to say that's definitely one learn. It's being quick isn't enough to make you an effective. There's a big difference between sevens and 15s, and you see that going the other direction. There's very few players, maybe only Leone Nakarawa, who can just seamlessly jump between the two. And maybe it was slightly naive to think Nick Maloof would just hop straight into 15s and be able to manage it. So I feel a little bit sorry for him that he was badly out of position for Banahan streaking down the touchline.
Yeah, he was, and also he was on the scene for a try, but I think Harry Thacker threw it on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, there were loads of examples of Tigers just not executing. I mean, that's before I felt that they looked a bit arrogant coming into the game. But if you think about all the quality that they have in that starting lineup, and they fail to win. On the wings, outside of their first choice, who is Brady and May. By the way, May is a good signing. May looked so busy. He looked like he had signed and he wanted to make a difference immediately.
All right, by the way,
brilliant actually.
Demonstration of his gas when he made up a good 10 or 15 meters on Rokodunguni.
Who
didn't manage to get him still, but yeah, he's got proper gas.
Yeah, and he was playing with some real heart.
Yeah,
but if you take out Johnny May. Your wing options are two fairly established guys in Tom Brady, who's an excellent player, and Thompson. After that, it's Maloof and the guy called Jonah Holmes. I think Jonah Holmes is the one.
Yeah.
I mean, with the greatest respect, who are they? You know, the lack of depth at Tigers would be what worries me. The starting 15 is awesome. After that, they're really kind of looking about. I mean, their second string centres are Gareth Evans from Scarlets, who? And
Matt Smith, yeah.
Not a Premiership centre pairing. Or at least not a consistent one.
But then you might have said that about Bath, Max Clark. You might have gone, oh, Max Clark, he was good under 20s player a couple of years ago, he's promising. By the way, it's come to light that he has a Welsh mother.
He does.
And he was invited to go and travel with Wales and on the tour in the summer. He turned it down. He said a couple of times he's not interested in playing for Wales.
Oh, wow.
Which I find quite refreshing. He's basically, I mean, maybe he'll change his mind. And I understand wanting to play international rugby, but he doesn't identify as being Welsh and therefore said, no, I don't want to. Whereas one bit of news coming out is that Carl Ferns wants to play for France.
Yeah, I've heard this a few times, actually. It's a nonsense, can't happen. I think he played for England in South Africa. So, you know, this is just media chat. There is no way...
Well, media chat coming from him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said this to me himself.
Yeah.
But He's also told me he's played for the Saxons, so it's a non-starter.
Well, he went so far as to say, "Oh, there's a couple of things I need to do, like play for the Sevens team, which I want to see that happen. I want him to play for France purely so I can see him trying to play Sevens because he is an awesome back row player. Don't get me wrong, but he is not built for Sevens. It would be hilarious watching him getting run around.
Yeah." This simply isn't happening. I mean, yeah, you're right about the Sevens thing.
Well, France have brought in their new laws anyway on you've got to have a French passport.
Maybe he might apply for one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess he likes it out there. He isn't playing for France. It will never in a million years happen. He's played for the Saxons. That's the second senior team. Rules are rules.
Laws are laws.
Laws are laws. I mean, this is just so... It's just a complete non-starter.
So why is he bringing it up then?
I got no idea. It's because he got interviewed by the Mail, I think. The Daily Mail did a big feature on him. And it must have just popped up. But this isn't serious. It's not true.
And what he said about Gavin Henson and that night, he was asked about that in the same interview. And he said that after he'd clocked Henson and laid him out in that pub in Bath, He then actually spent some time with him when he was sober and realised that Big Gav's a top bloke.
Quite a nice guy.
He said if he'd met him sober before it was the first time he'd met him was he was on the beers. He just said Gavin's a different man when he's had a few beers.
He has got a horrific record on the beers, Gavin Henson.
Doesn't he? We've all got a mate like that though.
It stacks
a
up.
Liability.
I'll beat you in 5 yards of space kind of guy. After,
yeah, exactly.
After 3 pints.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, do you want to go back and talk about some of the weekend's games?
Yeah.
Which one do you fancy?
I can summarise a couple of them. So,
yeah, were you working this weekend?
Leicester Bath.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
How was the atmosphere after the loss?
It's difficult to tell because the last 10 minutes were absolutely electric atmosphere as Leicester made their comeback. But it was... just deathly quiet in the first half, and that says everything about Bath. I actually thought Reece Priestland and Chris Cook had brilliant games.
Isn't that strange?
They totally controlled with the kicking game, completely controlled it. And with all the law variations and all the tries that we saw, I thought it was really good to see a little bit of old school rugby, bit of territorial play winning the day, and... Priestland outclassing Ford. We did not see that as a storyline.
No, he didn't. Did it feel like it looked, which were Baffert were a lot more up for it?
Their desire and hunger was, like defensively, they were just on it. They were flying out the line, massive hits. And they were also, they'd clearly done it with George Ford, not in an illegal manner, but they'd basically gone, if you have the opportunity to hit him legally... even if he's just passed the ball, just hit him.
Yeah, and I guess...
They really did that quite a few times, just hit him just after he passed the ball.
And I guess for them, George Ford isn't that scary. I mean, they know he's good, but they know everything there is to know about him.
Yeah, well, I just think that they... Yeah, and maybe they knew that you can rattle him or you can knock him off his game a little bit. So it was great.
I tell you, one of the more... impactful games of the weekend.
Yeah.
Saracens Northampton.
Oh my god. Wow. What is Scout Britt's thinking about retiring at the end of the season?
He's a 36-year-old hooker. It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
I looked into it as well because you're right, and it is outrageous. It's also outrageous that he's only ever had 10 replacement caps at international level. The talent of that man deserves so much more. So I suppose it's South Africa when he's had Bismarck, Duplessis and John Smith.
Yeah, Bismarck, Duplessis can't do that stuff.
It's unreal.
Yeah, right man, wrong time, wrong international side.
But not even him. Vincent Cock. Wow.
Yeah.
The skills of the... with no exaggeration, I think the Saracens front row would have been better than Northampton's 10, 12, 13 if they'd just put them in there.
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Does Jim Mallander feel a little bit like Arsene Wenger?
Oh, that's a really good shout. Yeah, that's a really good shout.
It started last season. The rot has crept in and they just...
Started last season. I think more than that. Well, actually, no, I think last season Northampton finished. Did they finish just outside the? They got in the top six. They got top six, didn't they? Or did they win the playoff?
So you just you got to remember.
But their defence kept them in it.
Yeah. So last year, they
didn't
do too.
And King Louis.
They didn't do too well. I think the year before that, it might have been top four. I'm not sure. It was only like three or four years ago that they won the whole thing.
Four years. 2013 was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2013 they won it, and they haven't. We've said it a load of times. They've overinvested in players past their prime, and not cut people loose. They've not recruited. Their backline's been a mess.
I mean, they're not afraid to spend the money, but this year they bought in no one. Pierce Francis to me isn't a terrific signing. I mean, he's a guy who didn't play particularly well at Edinburgh, went to the Blues and did all right. But you know, that's a lot of pressure on a guy who's fairly unproven.
Dan Bigger, that's a better signing, but that's next year.
Yeah. Why bring in a fly half now and then another one next year?
Yeah. And then we'll see. Well, I reckon just on the kit alone, Dan Bigger will turn down going to Northampton.
Yeah. Stash is horrific. Signed? I don't know what there's like some. Pre-contract agreement or something.
I don't know what's going on there, but woeful, absolutely woeful. Harry Mallander, not a 10.
Not a 10.
Not a 10.
An amazing 12, not a 10.
Potentially an amazing 12.
No, I think he's genuinely already an outstanding 12. Yeah, you're right there. And their defence. I mean, their ruck defence at times was so shambolic. There was, I can't remember which of the 20 tries that Saracens scored now. But you know,
was it only 20?
25 maybe.
Yeah.
They all run to the breakdown. They dived in the breakdown, and there's no guards, no bodyguards, none of the, like just the basic ruck defence. Everything they did was just poor. The defence in particular was just poor.
When have you heard before a commentator doing the summary into half time of a match, and Ali Eakin, I think it was a pretty fair description. He just said, 7 tries for Saracens, Northampton have had their pants pulled down. Bosh, into the break. That was the last line.
Yeah. Can you clarify something for me? Are Northampton a full-time professional team?
I believe they are.
Because they didn't look like it.
No. What do you do? Well, they've got Leicester at home.
Yeah.
Again, we could be talking something completely different. Remember, like, again, 10 games into last season, we were saying Exeter Chiefs, well, they're going to struggle to make the top four.
Mm.
They're not looking like a top six side at the moment, and they won it. So, but worrying times.
Interesting fact of the day.
Oh, go on.
Well, kind of, if you like A-League. And I was watching some of the A-League highlights on my phone. I wanted to go to Hayward Road today and watch Sale Jets play. But daycare, daddy daycare, or rest of it, childcare duties. Do you know who's playing on the wing for Northampton tonight? At Sale, in front
yes,
of three people?
I do. George North.
I know.
I saw that.
It'd been great, great to go and watch that. George North versus Josh Charnley in front of three people and a dog.
No, it's AJ Bell attendance.
Oh, yeah.
It's two people and a dog for the A-League games.
It's probably more, actually. That would have been quite the sight to go and watch this evening.
Yeah. But Saracens, oh my God. Goodness! Again, it's hard to judge. We got to temper it because it's only a game in, and how much was it that Northampton were just terrible, didn't have any hunger and appetite, and that's with Dylan Hartley in their side, the England captain who they were talking about. He's Northampton captain again. And
is he?
Yeah, he's Northampton captain again.
No.
And they were talking about him reinstilling the kind of hunger, and you just saw no hunger.
To be fair, I've kind of spoken to people around the camp, quite honestly. And in the pre-season, it's not exciting. I mean, there's lots of, like, no egos and, genuine lads who moved there who were genuinely impressed with the culture, with the work ethic. So to go out and just get destroyed like that, it must be so disappointing for them.
Yeah. There's talk of Alex Lazowski leaving at the end of the season. Owen Farrell signed a new 5-year contract at Saracens.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex Lazowski, whose contract runs out at the end of this season, is looking, thinking, well, how much game time am I going to get?
Well, that's the deal, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is exactly why he's there, to back up Owen Farrell.
Yeah, but his progression's been a lot quicker than anyone realised, and he looks absolutely class. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back to Wasps. I think that'd be a great fit. They didn't want him to go. Sippers, his contract's up at the end of this season.
No, I've got a better one for you than that.
Go on.
So the reason that allegedly he's in Saracens is because he wanted to stay in London. Coventry isn't for him. Big city boy. Now, across the way, you've got this mixture of Couch Kalis, who no one has seen yet. You've got Tim Schwiel, we know about him, reasonable. And you've got Marcus Smith, who just received an absolute hiding. Now, Marcus Smith might be really good eventually. Couch Kalis might be really good when he finally plays. But that sounds like it would suit all parties.
Completely. Well, I can't think of a team that wouldn't take Lazowski.
Yeah, but you've got to think of teams who have already got established guys.
Bristol, maybe, because they've got the cash. Maybe they'd splash on him.
And they've already got Madigan. He wouldn't be cheap.
Coventry doesn't suit Lazowski. He wants the city lifestyle.
Exactly. So with that in mind, he's only got really a choice of London Irish or...
Quins.
Or he just stays as the understudy to Owen Farrell. Now, the interesting thing about Saracens for me, and this is in the news, I don't know if we spoke about it actually, how are they going to get all these lads back in under the cap?
Yeah, well, it's something we touched on before actually. Mark McCall raised something that kind of we ended up having a conversation about recently, where he said he feels like Saracens are being, or some recognition should be made for the fact Saracens are producing, developing and investing in these young players, and then because they've done such a good job at it, they're not going to be able to afford to keep them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you know what? Some people have gone, oh, whinging Saracens and what are you moaning about? And Saracens have brought a little bit on that themselves with their indiscretions with salary caps in the past.
Yeah. Look, there's a salary cap. It's there for a reason. Stick to it, lads. And if you stick to it and everyone else sticks to it, all you can do is pay your players their market value. In relation to the salary cap.
But take their second row as
one
an example.
One of them's going to go.
Yeah, well, exactly. But take their second row, for example. You need three. You need four really good second rows. And in the last few years, Saracens Academy has produced George Cruz, Maro Itoje, and Nick Izikwe.
Well, that's the
three England internationals.
Well, that is what they need to do, isn't it? They need to carry on producing so they can let the senior guys go. I mean, it's harsh, but that's what you've got to do. It's like, that's what the Welsh regions should be doing. Instead of bringing guys back, they need to be producing more to replace the guys that leave. And that's the only way you can do it, because you can sign kids for a lot less than you can sign seasoned internationals. And it does work. Like I say, you know, Itoje, Cruz, Farrell.
I get it does work, but you would be... Well, you wouldn't want to lose those guys. Yeah. Like you've brought them up from the age of, who knows, 13, 14 years of age. You've had your coaches working with them. They've played for you, and then you can't afford to keep them. And that will happen in some cases, but I do think that some recognition of
they can have a reasonable amount of cap relief for homegrown players. And it works. And that's it.
Well, and working backwards, what's the ultimate goal? England winning a World Cup, or any nation winning a World Cup, it works. It helps that ultimate aim.
Who would you keep, Itoje or Cruz?
Or Maro.
Do you know why I wouldn't keep Maro? Because he'd be so bloody expensive. Maro, and by the way, if he ends up being the first £1 million player, that is one of the most stupid moves ever, because a second row, as good as he is, should not be signed as the Premiership's first £1 million player, if that ever comes to fruition.
If they get like a percentage of image rights, then they'll make it back in no time.
And now this is kind of my point, is the rugby team should be paying for the rugby skills. The image rights stuff should be carved off, and then the player should manage that separately, meaning they can accept a smaller deal, but actually get more money. Just like they do in the NFL. The image rights are not owned by the team, they're owned by the player. They're owned by the team, they're missing out on a huge amount of cash.
Well, Maro's doing very, very well. Nice Adidas contract and lovely... What was that? Every time I watch Sky Sports News, I keep seeing him pop up on an advert sat next to a dog on a bench.
Yeah, what's that?
Just smiling. I don't know. I don't know. Someone will let me know what it is. That rugby podcast on Twitter.
I tell you what, when they take him over to the United States, he is going to be a huge draw. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the guy that Premiership Rugby just roll out and gets all the attention, and rightly so.
Yeah. So Saracens looked imperious, like scary how good they looked. Newcastle, yeah, we need just how exciting to see them and their continued rise. I really, really would love to see them not even more than break into the top six. I don't know. On the strength of a game, could they be the potential fourth team? Are they?
I tend to think not.
Yeah.
I tend to think not. I mean, their strength works in their favour. Lack of in-calls make, you know, really work in their favour. And actually, the plastic pitch works in their favour. I mean, there's a lot of interesting moving parts there, but ultimately, you've got to be used to winning. It's got to be a habit. And I don't think they're quite there. But who knows?
What do you reckon then? Well, there has been a rumour of the next Premiership club getting a plastic pitch. Have you heard?
Who?
Who would you like to have a plastic pitch next?
I'd like Sale to have a plastic pitch.
Gloucester.
Oh.
Which will make it four plastic pitches in the Avicii Premiership.
Well, they definitely work. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I read a pretty funny article in the National Press a few years ago. Do you know when something new happens? Anything new, and they immediately try and find something which, you know, which means that this thing can now be rubbish, can now be consigned to the scrap heap. Apparently, do you know the little rubber crumb things?
Yeah.
If you eat too many of them, you die. Who knew?
I want to see the laboratory test of that. Who was the poor sod? You had someone, right? Yeah, we'll pay you. You poor student. Yeah, we'll give you a grand. You've got to eat that bowl of rubber crumb.
Yeah, and just carry on eating really until you die, and if you do die, we'll come back on plastic pitchers. We'll go from there. Ridiculous.
And what's the coaching point there? Don't eat the rubber crumb.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, don't eat rubber crumb, and you'll be absolutely fine. Plastic pitchers are perfectly safe. when are they looking at doing it for
next season? Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the AJ Bell with a plastic pitch. In fact, I'd like to see most of them with a plastic pitch.
Well, I wonder how Jack Knowles knees will get on with that, because, mind you, they've come on a lot, and the Worcester one's brilliant. It's got, I can't remember what it was, it's got like a, it's more like mud than the Saracens one was when it was laid. And
tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, I've heard that the Worcester one is excellent, actually. Interesting.
Yeah. Other things I noticed from the weekend in the Avicii Premiership, I love the look of Lova Balavu for Wasps.
Yeah, I didn't even know who. I mean, was he at Toulon? Is that where he's come from?
I don't know.
He's class.
I can't remember. The little step and give to Alex Reader. He just looks classy. And that's what's frightening. You talked about the lack of depth at Leicester. That's what I really like about Wasps. Dai Young has built this squad deliberately, so he's got two really good players at least in every position.
Yeah, I was kind of wrong about them for this week. Oh no, look, I said I predicted the game right, I got the result wrong. I said that Sale would score 30 points. They did score 30 points. Just happens that Wasps scored
55-35 or whatever it was.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw a scrum half play like Dan Robson?
Right, I want to talk about Dan Robson. And I'm not saying this off the back of four tries. We've been saying it for a couple of years. How is he not further up Eddie Jones's pecking order?
I can only assume, and this is a massive assumption, but I can only assume that Eddie Jones must place a lot of emphasis on the team. When I say on the team, like the settled combinations, settled personnel. That's the only thing I can possibly imagine it is.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any huge deficiencies in his game.
He's he's better than Danny Care.
Yeah, he's basically the player Danny Care should be, right? That's what Danny Care brings, you know, a bit of zip, a bit of running game. That's exactly what Dan Robson does, but better, maybe.
Yeah, but when the England squad was wide, you know, the large training squad was announced and Jack Maunder was in it and Dan Robson isn't, we raised our eyebrows then, not because we don't think Jack Maunder's got a lot of promise, we do, but it just seems, again, off the back of four tries, maybe it clouds your judgment a little bit more, but it defies logic.
Well, it does feel like the England team has picked sort of, you've got to be in a category of player. So you've got your senior guys, and it's, you know, you can be however old you want. You're a senior bloke, like a Mike Brown, who must be like, what, 31,
32
now,
today.
Yeah? Oh, happy birthday, Mike Brown. That's absolutely fine. Picking Mike Brown means there's probably no room for an Alex Goode. So they'll look for someone younger. And I think that's probably what's going on with Robson. Robson is a bit younger than Danny Care, but fundamentally he's challenging for a senior role. Whereas someone like Maunder is more of a development player. So you know, if one of the senior guys was to be let go, it'd have to be Danny Care.
I get it, but I understand that, but it particularly as Eddie Jones has said, he will be leaving the England job after the Japan World Cup. Whether that's true or not, we'll wait and see. But that's what he said. And if that's the case, and regardless, his one and only job is to win the World Cup.
Yeah. So
don't worry about who's going to be the scrum half in 7 years' time.
I have sympathy with that. Okay, but there's two things which I'd counter it with. Number one, when England won the World Cup last time, there was then one of the most barren periods in English rugby history. And you could argue it took all the way up to Stuart Lancaster and beyond to get over it. And the argument would be they put so much effort into that group of players, there was nothing underneath it. None of the lads, you know, like the David Barnes era, were getting enough caps or enough exposure to international rugby to carry on the success once the Martin Johnsons and co had all retired. And I have some sympathy with that. And on the flip side, and the other part of this is, if you look at someone like New Zealand, well, they are bringing lads through who you think, well, that guy's not an international. And then all of a sudden, you know, Sam Kane has got 50-odd caps. McCaw's retired, and he's one of the best sevens in the world. So I can see the logic, and it's very generous of Eddie Jones to be building a house for the next guy, if that is indeed what he's doing. I tend to agree with you, Tim. You know, if you want to win the World Cup, just pick the best lads, and Robson is definitely one of the best lads.
Well, all right, so I do have sympathy with exactly what you're saying, but what I would, and if it was a clear run thing that Dan Robson is a clear third or fourth choice, actually, or fourth choice, let's say, as he clearly thinks he is, at least fourth choice, because he's got pick three senior guys above him. If it was a clear fourth choice and there was clear water between him and the others, then I'd say, actually, I've got no problem with Jack Maunder being developed or whoever else. But he's not a clear fourth choice.
No, it's weird.
He should be challenging for a bench spot.
When do they re-announce the training squad?
It must be soon, mustn't it?
Has to be. If he makes it, it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling he won't.
He was interviewed after the game, after scoring four tries. And he joked and said, I'll be on the phone to Eddie.
Do you know what? Not a joke. I would if I scored four tries, I wouldn't let Eddie call me. I'd call Eddie. I would call him right there and then. I should have a spot now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, what's your address? I want to make sure I send you a copy of the game. Did you see it? Have you watched it?
Exactly. Highlight video. Let's talk. Come on. What are we in now? 43 minutes. I've not spoken about Sale. What a disappointing start, eh?
Yeah, very disappointing. Very disappointing. It was poor. Porous as well.
The most disappointing. Okay, so they basically did kind of what Leicester did, in terms of they just played everyone who was new immediately, or everyone back in who was back healthy immediately. Jonny Ross looked like it looked like Premiership Rugby was a complete shock to him. I've tipped this guy to be a bit of a household name by the end of the season. I think he's going to make a huge impact. Not on the evidence of what I saw on Saturday. Faf de Klerk, I'm not sure he should have been playing. He was actually all right.
Second half, but more so. He did add a bit of pace and stuff, and I think he's going to be a good, really good signing. But he it was probably just the combinations and you being used to his teammates, but he looked like Billy Twelvetrees. He was doing like missed threes into touch.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem. He plays in a certain way, and you've got to be used to playing with him. So I guess take your lumps early. But there'd be nothing wrong with playing Will Cliff, who is a fine scrum half in his own right, and then introducing Faf de Klerk slowly. Not to mention he's just had a full season of Super Rugby behind him. So it didn't make much sense to me. That
London
that
Irish are doing with their scrum halves. McKibben and Meehan are going to be their one and two. But Scott Steele started at the weekend. That's been around. So maybe there's... Actually, maybe that's the sort of biggest, broadest takeaway is... There's a lot of really, really good players that have joined the Avicii Premiership. The clubs that use them all,
yeah,
didn't click. Yeah, Leicester, yeah. Sale. I'm trying to think. Did Gloucester chuck all their new guys in?
No, Ackerman was on the bench.
Yeah,
Owen Williams didn't play.
Didn't play.
Balmain did play.
Balmain played, and Woodward.
Val Rapava Ruskin.
Well, he's still suspended for one more game.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, point is, he didn't play.
He didn't play. So there's something in that.
Yeah.
I think you got a good point there.
Directors of rugby, don't get carried away with your shiny new toys.
Yeah. And look at Todd Blackadder sitting on the first win for Bath at Welford Road in 14 years. Only their second league win.
Is that right?
Only their second league win ever at Welford Road.
No.
Yeah. So I as well as doing the man of the match and the losing director of rugby, I also do another couple of interviews that go around, websites and around the world that doesn't go out on the TV. And I chatted to Tobi Metz and the assistant, the head coach, the Todd Blackadder's number two, and I said that I sort of mentioned, you know, how pleased, particularly when you consider it's, you know, only the second league win ever. And afterwards, he went, "Is that right? Really? Wow." I mean, he's a guy that's relatively new to Britain.
Didn't they watch like 40 games back to back and yeah. 680 hours of footage before they joined?
They did.
Come on.
But yeah, there you go. And Todd Blackadder had Chris Cook and Rhys Priestland.
Yeah, the petulant.
As his half
petulant Chris Cook and the weak Rhys Priestland.
Hey, listen, one thing I want to talk about, right? So we talk about how the teams have done. We've seen all the kits now on the field. And I just want to, I'm just thinking my clear relegated team on the basis of stash is Northampton Saints. They're down and gone.
I don't mind there so much. What?
That horrific vomit green one.
Oh yeah, that is vile. That is purely vile.
You've got a clear champion. I mean, forget top four. You've got a clear winner, and that is Bath.
The Bath away kit.
But, well, both of them are lovely, but that change kit is
nice, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
It is.
And there's a message for kit manufacturers. Keep it simple, keep it classic.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
I want one kit manufacturer just to put the neck on the line, say, "This is the kit now we're having for 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch sales rise, because no one's worried about having an old kit next year. It's stupid. We don't need new kits every year.
Well, particularly, we don't need disgusting new kits every year. And there's some absolute howlers. So my top four, Bath champions, top four would be Newcastle, probably Gloucester and Quins, maybe. Maybe Gloucester.
I like the Quins.
Yeah, I quite like the Quins kit. And then you've got this horrible mid-table mush of Leicester... Actually, Exeter might be pushing fifth. Well, I saw it up close. I was not a bigger fan of that Leicester one. The away kit is an improvement on what there was. But, Exeter probably fifth, and then you're getting into Sale and Leicester and London Irish. Worcester are down near the bottom as well for me.
Sale have moved away from their traditional colours. I mean, it used to be like a royal blue and white stripe.
Yeah.
Hoops. That was perfect. They've now got this kind of dark, sort of creamyish blue thing going on with swirls everywhere.
Yeah, swirls all over.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad as it happens, but it isn't their kit.
No.
It doesn't deserve. No.
How many
years?
No,
Wasps. Wasps has got to be up there.
Wasps
is stunning.
Yeah, Wasps. Well, I'm not that keen on the white collar. It kind of ruined it for me, but it's up there. The simple ones are the best. Exeter's is hard to judge because they've got so many sponsors on it. It's like a NASCAR.
Yeah,
kit.
Agree with that.
So many sponsors on it. But there's some real howlers this year. So, but how many years has the Avicii Premiership been going? Must be the 20 something.
Yeah,
must be getting towards 25. So when it's the 25 year, can we get an early request? Let's have a 25th Premiership, and do throwback kits to the kits that there were 25 years ago.
That's a tremendous idea. That is actually a tremendous idea.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We got Canterbury to make sure to start doing boots in promotional shots. We Gloucester got in touch with us and kept us in touch over the years on trying to get back to full hoops.
Yeah, so they can consult their fan groups. That's how they come up with what they come up with. So, now Phil isn't here.
Yeah,
which means no one's watched the Pro 12. Did you watch
Pro 14?
Pro 14. Did you watch any?
South African teams both lost.
They didn't just lose, mate. They got hammered.
You got hammered. It's quite a tough ask, like you say. A long way from home. Haven't played that before. But then again, it's also the acid test, and there you could argue, well, no, actually, they've had lots of rugby, so they're cohesive in a way that they're not. But like you say,
well, they weren't cohesive in their own competition, let alone this one.
No, they got pumped.
Yeah, and
they're going to entertain though. For sure they're going to entertain.
Well, I would just caution the Pro 12 that I thought it was a terrible idea to start with. I thought it was relatively well executed. But if these teams don't do better soon, there's going to be a lot of people out there saying, basically, I told you so, myself included.
Do you not think they'll just lose, generally speaking, apart? Well, they're going to be playing Treviso and stuff. So against the big teams, they'll lose away, win at home. They'll probably win all their home games.
Yeah, we'll have to see what they do at home to get a real good gauge of them.
And there's even talk about two more South African teams leaving Super Rugby and going to the Pro to make it Pro 16.
Yeah, so I've heard about this. I've also heard they're interested in the Premiership. Whether the Premiership would be interested in taking them, I don't know.
No.
But would that mean the end of Super Rugby?
Pretty much.
Because if two more, I mean, what would they do? They'd keep, I mean, say, are they talking about two existing teams?
Yes, because mainly the big success and the big reason that already the South Africans are really liking the Pro 14 is the time difference. It works for televising matches.
Right, I'm not buying this because as an avid rugby watcher myself, I love having games on at different times. The 3 o'clock kickoff does not bother me one bit. As long as there is a 3 o'clock kickoff, everything else to me is absolutely fine. So if you can get me a 6 a.m. kickoff, a 10 a.m. kickoff, a 12 a.m. kickoff, then your 3 p.m. kickoff, and then maybe some Haguaras at 11 p.m. Perfectly happy with that. If you put them all at 3 p.m., I'd be furious. So no, well, I don't buy it.
But it can be evenings, it can be afternoons. But the point is, it's when they travel away, it's. You're not getting up early in the morning or staying up really late. It's at peak times, Friday night or Saturday evening or Saturday afternoon.
It's nice to wake up on Saturday morning, have a bacon butty and watch Super Rugby. It's like a ritual for everyone that plays rugby.
It is nice, but it's a commercial world and there aren't as many people that will get up and have a bacon butty and watch rugby as will sitting on a Friday evening or Saturday afternoon and watch rugby, and that's where the advertising money comes from. That's where the television money comes from. And that's why already the rumour is that two other South African sides are considering moves north.
What, to the Pro 12?
Potentially, yeah. Well, the Pro 12...
Pro 14.
The Pro 14, well, it's going to be pro worldwide because they want an American team in. There's talk of a Canadian team, but it's certainly a North American side. I think expansion. I think Argentina would do well to have a team based in Europe, because the Jaguares isn't working for the national team in the way that we thought it would.
This is something like a horrific mess.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I agree. But the Pro 12 was making no money, and already they've made, is it 6 million quid more from TV money?
They've got a lump sum from somewhere, from South Africa. Now, if these South African teams are horrible...
For the TV rights.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
If these South African teams are horrible, then that money's going to dry up pretty quickly. The attendance is going to dry up pretty quickly. So we will see. But just to round up some of the other results, Edinburgh beat Cardiff 2010. We've spoken about Ulster hammering the Cheetahs.
Well, yeah, Edinburgh. So Richard Cockerell's first game in charge. Good
at
result.
Cardiff, yeah.
Was it at Cardiff?
Yep.
I thought, God, I saw the result and just assumed Edinburgh were at home.
No.
No. Wow.
So that's pretty decent. You won't believe this. Munster beat Benetton.
What?
Yeah.
Why did we not lead with that at the start of the podcast?
Exactly, mate. 22-13, Ospreys beat Zebre, who did surprisingly well there, actually. Leinster battered Dragons, shock.
Yeah, Leinster and Munster had a lot of their first-choice players not involved, all their Lions and many other players as well. Yeah. You looked at the Leinster team that wasn't available. They had like an awesome international quality team not even involved.
Yeah, and this is why the Pro 12 suffers a lot of a
Pro
lot
14
of team,
the Pro 14. Guinness. Now hold on, isn't it called the Guinness Super 14?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Well, we need to get
it. Is the Guinness Pro 14?
It's Pro 14, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of teams rested the Lions actually, so I won't be too harsh. And last but not least is 12-18, Connacht going down to Glasgow Warriors. Glasgow are my pick for this year. So, and it's a good result that actually going over to Connacht.
When you say pick for this year, what do you mean?
Definitely to make the playoffs. Probably to win the thing. Don't think they're going to get out their European group though. The European group is savage. I think they've got. I think it's them, Leinster, Montpellier, and Exeter. Good luck.
Mm. There's been some transfer talk. We mentioned Lazowski to Wasps. Carl Fearn's playing for France. And there was some talk of Tevita Kurindrani being a target for Sale Sharks.
But not exactly.
What's been bubbling?
Other than Australian Rugby League players?
Yeah, other than Australian Rugby League players.
Bubbling, Tim.
Sorry.
Never mind, mate.
Sorry, it's very late. Yeah, I missed that.
Right.
But put Google Safe Search on if you want to know what bubbling is.
Well, the only one that comes to mind is allegedly it's Chris Kurindrani, the brother of Nemanja Nadolo. No,
not the brother of Tevita Kurindrani.
No.
What?
Although Tevita Kurindrani is also related to Nemanja Nadolo.
How does that all work out?
It does work. I have asked him. In fact, listen to my Rugby Dungeon interview with Nemanja Nadolo.
Tevita Kurindrani. So Chris Kurindrani, brother of Nemanja Nadolo, not Tevita Kurindrani.
Yeah, correct.
The short. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. So I think it's something like... Oh, I don't know.
So Sale are doing what they've done in the past when they heard that the Tuolangi clan were quite good. They signed Andy Tuolangi.
Yes, we're going to be good.
And then
this is it.
They heard that the Fords were quite good at fly half. They signed Joe Ford. And they've heard that they want a big lump in the centre. And they'd heard to get a Kurindrani. And they've gone for Chris Kurindrani.
Yeah, so I think the link here... I'll find out tomorrow. But I think the link is he played for the Reds. They've already got a link there because I think Johnny Leota was at the Reds at some point. But even if he wasn't, he recommended Sale pick up TJ Ioane, who definitely was at the Reds. So I think that's sort of the link. One recommended one, he recommended another, he recommended another. So we'll see if he's any good. A bit of strength and depth, can't harm.
No, it can't. Any other rumours bubbling away?
No. Nope.
I'm going to have to stop saying bubbling.
Yep. Zero, 0. Do you want to go into next week's games? Shall we do a pick of the week?
Yes, let's do that. So, as you know by now, Leo Vegas love their rugby. They sponsor us, and with them, you can win.
Oh, God. Oh, no, we're so bad at this.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, speaking about bits of music, because this music reminds me of Donald Trump, because it was theme tune for The Apprentice. But equally, our theme tune is used by Donald Trump, it turns out.
Yeah, it is.
So he was being he's been recently being welcomed into rooms, trying to drum up a bit of support and raise some money for a 2020 presidential bid, and the Egg Chasers theme tune music is what Donald Trump enters the room to.
Who would have thought that we have so much influence?
I know.
Amazing.
Making podcasting great again. I forgot where we are. Oh, yeah, Leo Vegas, bet of the week. So the games, the fixtures for this weekend are. Let's just rattle through the. Let's look at the fixtures and we'll pick out our.
All right, so on Friday night, Sale Sharks, Newcastle Falcons.
You going to go and watch that? I'm working it.
Right, am I going to go and watch that? The answer is I deeply want to go and watch that, but I need someone to watch.
You need to set off to the AJ Bell on Wednesday in order to make the 4 mile trip there.
See,
and get there in time.
Problem is, my wife is doing either a long day or a night shift. Something meaning which I can't get out of the house. We have a lot of listeners now, so if anyone wants to volunteer to look after my daughter, she's one of the half years old, so I can go to the AJ Bell.
Can't you get her in a baby Bjorn and take her to the AJ Bell?
Past her bedtime, but so I am considering that. But it angers me intensely that fatherhood has stopped me watching Sale Jets tonight and will stop me watching Sale versus Newcastle. So I'll sort something out.
Just try and sort something out. Now, I've been to rugby clubs before when they've had like a kind of creche, so they pay for someone to just like watch the kids in a little creche bit, so the wives can go and watch the game and stuff.
No, I don't qualify for that perk yet, Tim.
No.
But yeah, maybe
we'll work on it.
Also on TV is Bath hosting Saracens.
Friday, Saturday, isn't it? Yeah.
Exeter hosting London Irish. This is tasty. Quinns versus Gloucester at the Stoop. Now the reason that's so interesting is because I think this will give you a real good idea of where these two teams are. That's a real barometer. Then there's Northampton Tigers, and there is Worcester versus Wasps at Worcester. So your pick of the week there has to be Northampton. Leicester, right?
Yeah, it was
televised game, 4:30 Saturday.
Yeah.
So Northampton were epically bad. I mean, really atrocious.
Can they be that bad again?
At home in the Gardens, you would say not, but if they have to put out that same back line, it doesn't fill me with much hope.
What's happened to the PC brothers? They used to be like they've sort of just gone off the boil the last couple of years. Compared to the
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, they were absolute destroyers of worlds at one point. They all seem to have grown old at the same time. They all seem to have become non-effective.
They're not old though. No, they're not. Less effective. You're right.
So George North playing at Hayward Road tonight. I hate to say it, but the guy looks like a spent force. Someone like Foden, not really someone who you can... he certainly isn't as dangerous as he was when he was running around with Chris Ashton. Then you've got the PC boys. Just everything seems to be just getting a little bit dull there. I don't know what the answer is. Hopefully they'll put in a better showing. You'd expect them up front to do well. I tell you what, Lewis Ludlam's a good player.
Mm.
I mean, even though they're getting hammered, he's still stuck at it on Saturday.
I like the look of Dave Ribbons they've got in there, the second row on the bench as well. I think he's one that could break through and become a standout first teamer. So
two teams,
but they've got that's the other signing. Who's the chap? Number 8 for the Hurricanes. Is it the Hurricanes?
Don't know.
Yeah, I think the Canes, number 8, Brad Shields.
Okay.
is thought to be coming to Saints. He's been touting himself around for a while at 300,000 pounds, and word is that Saints are going to bite because they're obviously desperate to fill that number eight void.
So in interesting dynamics, two losing teams, right? Northampton will come into this demoralised, I would say, rather than motivated by the loss. Because sometimes you have a loss, don't you? And you think, yeah, okay, let's, you know,
let's
kick
a wake-up call, all right.
Yeah. That is Tigers. That is Tigers. They went in there a bit arrogant. They nearly actually won the game, but they didn't. They will be wanting to kick on. I think Northampton will be very afraid of what Tigers bring. I see Tigers winning this at the Gardens, and I see them winning it by 8 points.
Which I think is the margin I said Leicester would beat Bath by. But I agree with that. Yep.
Cool. Just give me a prediction for...
Well, it's worth saying as well, Leo Vegas, you can get loads of in-play bets and stuff, and first try scorer. So predict a first try scorer in that game.
Oh. I tell you who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Nick Bloody Maloof.
He's in your fantasy rugby draft team. And you don't think they'll make that change? They'll put in a
Brady will be in this week because he's class.
And if you were Northampton, you would just kick to Nick Maloof, not because he's not good in the air, but just positionally.
Why not?
It's tough.
Well, why not?
It's hard.
Do you know who I think will score again? I think Manu will score again. First try scorer, Manu.
My goodness me, he looks in good shape. His quads are outrageous. Like being there at the ground and just looking at it. I've got a lot of time for good quads, and Manu and Benno Abano, just love it.
It's impressive stuff. Well,
they're like the meat you get on kebabs in kebab shops.
Oh, what a delicious description, Tim. Right, so we've seen him. Manu play one game. I'm looking forward to watching his remaining two for this season. So I would say. Manu for first try.
Manu for first try. I'm going to go first try is going to go to... I'll go for Northampton and Dylan Hartley.
Madness, mate.
Get good odds on that.
Double madness. Give me a prediction for Sale versus Newcastle.
Sale to win.
Sale by eight. Sale by eight.
Sale are going to have to start getting better at playing away from home, but I think that's going to be their Achilles heel again, but I think they will be good at home.
Yep.
It's a great test as well. That's a really good matchup, that one.
Yeah, it's another
again,
one.
You're right. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to learn a lot about where these teams really are after this.
Bath, Saracens?
Saracens. By nine.
Okay. Exeter, London Irish.
I think you're going to get a reaction from Exeter and back down to earth for London Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Exeter by 18.
Okay.
I mean, London Irish, that was my favourite result of the weekend. I thought they were great.
Quinns, Gloucester.
Oh my!
At Quinns.
Quinns. I'm going to go Quinns. They can't be that bad again. Catricalis is going to start and he'll kick relentless, like he did. Didn't he knock Quinns out of European competition by just kicking the hell out of it?
He might have for Montpellier. I'm going to say 21 all draw.
Wow!
I can't split these guys.
Great odds on that.
And last one, I don't think I've ever picked a draw before, but that was that one's definitely a draw. And then the Tri-Fest on Sunday is going to be Worcester hosting Wasps.
Worcester won't be as bad again. They can't be, but they'll be very worried if they are. Wasps will win.
Wasps are going to win this one by 30.
I'm wondering what's going to happen with their number 10 shirt, because Danny Cipriani's been playing very well.
Really well.
And soon when they get their centres back, when Elliot Daly starts playing again, and you've got Lova Balavu, who looks awesome.
And they've spent a lot of money on De Jong,
and they've got Eastmond already, and Macken, and they've got lots of centre options. I think, again, talking about the fact that Dai Young's very clearly built a squad which has two very good players in each position, I think he's thinking it's going to be Sippers or Gopeth.
Agreed. That's exactly what I think.
So who do you think will win that battle?
Sippers.
You reckon? Yeah. He has been looking good.
I think Sipples will win because they brought him in as well as Gopeth, didn't they? And I think when they did that, there was no intention to play Gopeth 12 ever.
No.
It just injuries forced that transition, and he was very good at playing 12.
It's like Eddie Jones. That's how it happened for him. I don't think he intended to play Ford and Farrell.
It'd also be interesting to see what the contract statuses are like. So if Sippers has not got a bit of an extension on him, maybe I can see him going abroad though.
I think he will.
I can see him going to France.
I mean, I'd like to see him at. I'd like to see Sippers at Quinns. I think that's a great fit.
It is a good fit, isn't it? Mind you,
in London as well. To have Sippers in London.
Not really. You want him in a small village in France somewhere where. I'm not going to go really further. Let's just say somewhere where the drink driving laws are a little bit more lax. maybe edit that out. Right. Okay. Pro 12 fixtures.
Pro 14. Yeah. Pro 14.
Right. Should we just say there will be some Pro 14 games. Some teams will win. Some teams will lose. And leave it at that. We'll revisit it next week.
Yeah. Listen. We are fully aware that we've just put in a massive, massive shift. Our pre-season training was immense, but we have had, in podcasting terms, we are the Northampton Saints in week one, but we will be the Wasps or Saracens in week two, let me tell you.
So, yeah, we'll have Phil back next week. That makes a big difference.
That makes a big difference.
And also,
we'll have him back with the selections. You know, we're playing a man down at the minute.
And also, next week, if you want to know exactly what I'm going to do in New York and Philadelphia, that's all I'm going to talk about. That's all I'm going to talk about, because we'll be getting ready for that.
But of course, after this, you can promise right now we will have a podcast every Monday morning, won't we?
Pretty much. Unless one of us dies. Here we are, every Monday.
Exactly.
And once we return back from New York and Philadelphia, we'll be plugging like mad our Madrid show, where we are going to do a live show in Madrid. And we are going to do it in conjunction with, was it the Rugby Nations European Champions Cup or whatever they call it?
The Tier 2 competition.
Tier 2 Six Nations.
The Tier 2 Six Nations. We had a fantastic trip out to Romania for the Romania-Georgia game. Spain is one of the up-and-coming international sides. So is Germany. The two of them are playing in Madrid on the 10th of March. So just like pencil that one in your diary and we will confirm details soon enough. But we had tons of people coming out for a live show out in Bucharest, and it was raucous, watching all the Six Nations, few bevvies, live show, watching some rugby, and then, you know, lads.
All the boys. So yeah.
All the boys. And so we're looking to do likewise in Madrid.
Excellent.
So watch this space.
Right, well let the boys play, Tim.
Let the boys play, and we apologise, and we will... Yeah, in fact, let me just finish by doing a post-match interview. I'll do what I do with the DORs.
Go on then.
JB, how do you reflect on that podcast?
I think the boys, primarily JB, will be disappointed by the performance.
That's very honest of you. What areas do you need to address between now and next week?
Mostly vocal and communication skills.
Any areas in particular you're going to be working on between now and then?
Yeah, I mean, as a squad, we'll be looking forward. We'll be looking holistically at the whole process and making sure that our details are right in order for us to produce the product that we want. But ultimately, we need more depth with small statistical geniuses. I mean, if we can bring another one of those into the squad sooner rather than later, they're not easy to find, but we think we can get one statistically underneath the cap. So if we can just get a little bit more strength in the squad, concentrate a little bit more on our details, I'm sure going forward performances will pick up.
And how do you think your statistical talent would react to being described as small?
Probably in a very very diminutive manner.
Well, thanks for your time, JB.
No, thank you, Tim.
I wish they were all that... So actually, I'll let you in on one little secret, right? So... before the game, I interviewed Matt O'Connor, the Leicester Bath game, and I asked him a few questions. And when I'd finished, and no one, even watching the telly, you wouldn't have seen this, he then turned around and went, "That was a bit," but he basically, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he pretty much said, "You gave me a bit of an easy ride there." Nice one. he was sort of. So I took that as a. I've taken that as a personal challenge now. Like, no, that's not.
Do him.
What did you ask him?
I
put people in difficult positions. Thank you very much. When it's needed. Well, no. All I did. I asked him about the three storylines for Leicester were their back line that everyone's excited about, George Ford, Manu back. That was. I thought they're the three things that people are talking about. So I just asked him about those, and he was obviously bracing himself for. Some difficult questions.
Yeah, do you feel
I gave him a bit? I gave him a bit of a tough time afterwards.
Do you feel pressure on your job at the moment?
How do you mean?
As in, you should have opened up with that, even though he's brand new and signed a five-year contract.
Yeah, signed a massive contract.
Do you think it's time for you to move on?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyway, right, we've shown you enough of how the sausage is made. Right now, let's get on with it and let the boys play.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.